things that are in the earth, we got to bring that under control. Now, we're not supposed to control one another, because we're all supposed to be the church. So we're supposed to be controlling the things that come in and out of the world, out of this earth. That's what we're supposed to control. We're supposed to control our lives, our feelings, and what we're supposed to do according to the will of God. That's what we're supposed to control, not each other. We're supposed to take back control from Satan. That's what we control. We control the atmosphere, and we make sure that Satan does not get into the earth's atmosphere to destroy us, to kill us, to bring sickness and diseases in our bodies. We have to make sure that we keep him from doing these things, saints of God. We have to take back control from Satan. We can't allow his evil powers of destruction to control us and to destroy us. We can't allow that. You know, we have no business allowing Satan to bring such sinister, diabolical diseases of destruction on this earth. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't even want to call his name, because I hear the people on TV call that name so. And then see, people, they're talking about this virus like it's a person, like this virus have a name, it have intentions, evil intentions, it's bad, and it can do anything almost it wants. But see, we have problems. The church have problems when we heard Jesus talking to that fig tree, and Jesus told that fig tree, you know, what you saying? And he told him, he said, you're not going to bear any more fruit. You'll never bear any more fruit on this earth again. And because he said he heard that fig tree. And see, we, somehow or another, we seem all eerie and, I don't believe that. I don't quite understand. Yeah. Well, now you understand that they're talking about that coronavirus like it's a person, like it's evil, like it's killing, like it's a murderer. And everything else, you listen to the news and you listen to some of the ways that they describe this thing. You know, it's a killer. It's a murderer. You know, it seems to have a mind of its own. And, you know, so when you read the Bible, then you need to look at what Jesus said to that fig tree. You can talk to things. If it has a name, you can identify it and you can talk to it.
All right, family, you have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual One Man Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 46 and 1. Psalm 46 and 1. I just want to stop by that psalm for just a little while. Won't hold you long. But I do believe it'll be helpful to the people of God. And maybe you might not need it right now, but just hold on to it. Because if you keep on living, you're going to need to know Psalm 46 and 1. When you have it, say amen. All right, let's begin reading it now. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Help me if you don't mind. Turn next to someone and tell them, don't give up on God. Turn to the other neighbor and tell them, don't give up on God. Now just in case you need to know, this is for each of us. So tell self, don't give up on God. Now listen at this, because there comes a time in our lives when we're pushed and pressured with problems, trials, tribulations, and situations where we're almost forced to consider the idea of giving up on God. No, you say, well, no, Reverend, I've never been to that place. Keep on living. Because one of the things you're going to recognize is that as you get closer to God, the enemy brings more and more against you to try and break the connection between you and God. And it seems like it works diametrically opposite of the way things ought to be the closer you get to Him. You know, in the mind, we figure the better I do, the closer I get to God, the greater things ought to become, the easier things ought to become. Life ought to seem to be a bed of roses when I walk right, talk right, live right, give right, you know, handle folk right. It just ought to be a better life. But when you keep living and learning, you'll recognize the closer you get to Him, the more demons the devil assign to your name. More attacks, more trouble, more issues, more situations that you'll have to encounter, proving that you are to God what you say you are to God, and that God is what He said He is to you. Now, here's what a fact that you need to hold on to. God won't let you go. But Scripture has proven that many folk who've started out with God have let Him go. So that says things happen in our lives where we might tend to let go of God. But the psalmist here is encouraging us not to give up on God. Because one of the things he says is, one, God is, not God was, not God will be, but God is our refuge. Now, why would you need a refuge unless you have just been war-stricken? You've been driven from your home, your place of comfort, of safety, and peace. Why would you need a refuge unless you have fled from your homestead, from your hometown, from your home ground, trying to find a place where you can be secure at? And so the psalmist is making clear that no matter what our calamities are, what our trials are, what our troubles are, wherever we have a need of God, God is our refuge. So that means this, very simply, my brothers and sisters. When you need God in the midst of whatever is going on in your life, you ain't got to run looking for him. He's right there. Right there. All you need to do is recognize him. Acknowledge him. Know that he is our refuge, our safe place. Our place of comfort, our place of security, our place of peace. Listen to what Moses said in 90th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the earth and world were formed, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, Moses is saying what the psalmist is saying, and the psalmist is saying what Moses is saying. Moses is saying he's not just a present help, he's been our help ever since man has been in existence. And because he is that refuge that is from eternity to eternity, he is everlasting to everlasting. That means more than us at this time can find a refuge in him. In all generations, he's been the place where folk run. He's been the rock that's been higher than I. So he's been our refuge, our safe place. And I'm not talking about some building. I'm talking about in the truest sense of relationship, of the understanding of his divine presence, his presence covering us, keeping us, making us know that under his covering, we are secure against all enemies and strength. He's not just a place to go in wartime. He's not just a place to go when we've had to flee our home, our country, but he's also a place where we find strength at the same place we find shelter. He does something for us while we're with him. He shares his strength with us. See, when he says he's our refuge and strength, it's talking about the real kind of strength that your spirit man needs, the kind of strength that builds you up, the kind of strength that gives you the ability to know God and know that God is able to do what God said he can do. The kind of strength that prepares you not to stay. Listen, you don't live in refuges. They're temporary dwellings until things get right so you can go back home or you can reestablish yourself. But while you're in the covering of God, God gives you a strength. No wonder David said in the 27th Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What else does he say? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I what? Be afraid. You see, when you rest in him, when you are in the refuge where God's presence is, God's power is, you begin to be partakers of the strength that he gives to you. And then you begin to know God's got this thing fixed. This too shall pass. I'm not going to be in this position always. You are able to encourage yourself
in the Lord, because God shows you a better day and a better way, because he comforts you and gives you peace underneath the skin. Listen to what he goes on to say. God is our refuge and strength. Listen now. A very present help. A very present help. A very present help. Listen, my brothers and sisters, most times when you need help, most folk ain't present. Have you ever heard the song, and it's real? I go to my friends for consolation, and I find them complaining too. People that tell you, listen, we're thick, you're thick as thieves. If you need me, I'm going to be here for you. And you go there looking for your thick thief friend, and he done thinned out on you. You go there looking for the folk that promise, listen, we boys, I'm your ride and die. I'm gonna be here for you. And when you call them, you can't get them. You leave messages, you get texts, they don't answer. I mean, he's a very present help. In other words, God's awesome presence is so overwhelming that you don't have to look for him. You don't have to wonder where he is, or you don't have to wonder, can he help? He is a very present. And I like the word present again, because it literally means he's in it. See, some people can be there, but they ain't in it. You ever heard somebody say he wasn't present in the moment? I mean, they're sitting right there with you, but you're like, you know what I mean? Huh? Yeah, what you said? I just got to pouring out my heart. They glazed all over. They're present, but they're not present in the moment. But he's a very present help. 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 He's got what I need. He's a very present. Look, he could be present and don't have no help. But God is a very present. What you need, I got it. I got you. He's right there. Everything you need, it's right there in God, with God, available to you when you are there in God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. A very present help. And I love this last part. In trouble. Because I got news for you. I don't need phobia when things are going well. You know, I mean, it's wonderful to have them, and it's always good to be in the fellowship, but when I have need of you, that's when I need you the most. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need anybody to come and, you know, just be there to be taking time, wasting time, you know, not adding much to the fellowship, and, you know, come for something but don't bring nothing. I don't necessarily need them kind of friends, you know. Always there, and before the conversation, look, can you let me hold something? Yeah, here the Bible is right here. Hold it. Go through it. Get something out of it. It'll help you. It'll bless your life. That ain't what they want. But when you've got people, when you've got people, listen, who you can count on in trouble. And know they're going to be there. That's what makes the difference in the peace underneath the skin. Some people can call in the middle of the night and they've got the assurance that you're going to pick that phone up and be there for them. I know there have been times when in my life, younger life, I was, you know, in a place mentally, spiritually, psychologically, whatever the case might have been, going through something, and I picked up the time, not even realizing what time it was, and called my mother. And didn't realize sometime what time it was until I hung up the phone. And I said, oh, mama, you were asleep. I didn't mean to disturb you. But baby, you don't ever disturb me. What's going on? See, I ain't got many friends I can call at that time of night or in a situation that I can have there, like talking about. And if you be Rico, you don't have many of them either. You got a lot of fair weather friends. You know, well, listen, man, I could just wait till in the morning. I'm asleep. Yeah, but some problems you got can't wait till in the morning. You need some help right now. And he's that kind of help right then and now. And my brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be wonderful for you to be able to experience that kind of God at any time in your life? And if you are a believer, you've got that in God. That's why when you move on down, because I don't have time to deal with all of the verses, verse 10 says, be still. Stop running around like you ain't got no sense, like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to find out where you're going to get help, who's going to help him, who you're going to call, all of these stuff. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Just learn to be still in him. Old folk had it right when they said, he may not come when you want him. He's right on time. And you not know, you've got to know. That's how God is. God wants to make sure you know who you're calling and why you're calling, and the fact that he will show up if you believe and do not doubt. Be still and know. Don't guess, don't think, don't feel, but know. Let me throw this out to you. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God is still. Somebody didn't hear me yet. Just because he doesn't step up right away or make his presence known right away or answer your prayer right away doesn't mean he's not working behind the scenes. Sometimes God has so much to get in order for you. Paul put it this way, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Things you ask for God, listen, sometimes it doesn't really matter whether it's big or small or God does it all. But sometimes when you ask God for big things, he's got to take other things into consideration to make those things work out. So when you ask him for a little thing and it don't involve much other folk, that happens quickly. But sometimes he's got to move mountains. He's got to shift seas. He's got to change atmospheres. He's got to change attitudes. He's got to put people in place. He's got to rearrange the paradigm. Y'all not hearing me here. He's doing so much behind the scene that you don't even see. And he ain't talking because he's working on your behalf. And then when the Lord steps up and shows out and your mind is blowed. Make it sound like, you remember that old song, the Red and Blues, didn't I blow your mind this time, didn't I? God never ceases to blow my mind. I don't know about you, but if you don't have the kind of God I got, you need to get him. I recommend him to you. He's a mind-blowing God. Is there any witnesses in the house? How many times could you been dead sleeping in your grave if God hadn't stepped in? How many times you made some silly, stupid, idiotic decisions and God looked beyond your faults and met your needs? I'm just looking for witnesses. If you're not one, don't say nothing here. How many times when you didn't deserve his best, he stepped in and blessed you with his best? Oh, Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Listen, that's what I love. I will be exalted among the heathen. Another way of saying this, the haters, the naysayers, the folk who say I'm not real, the folk that say they don't believe, all of them one day are going to have to give me praise, give me glory. I will be exalted. Folk who are sitting on me now, they're going to stand up and lift me up. Folk who won't open up their mouth, they're going to be screaming to the top of their lungs, I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. If not now, look at what he says. Listen, he's given Jesus a name that's an exalted name, that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth. Listen, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, the day is coming, and not soon off, that everybody gonna have to call on his name. Why, Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. To the glory of God. Isn't that good news? I don't care what you're going through. I want to tell you, don't give up on God. If you don't mind, tell somebody, don't give up on God. Come on, it look like they're saying, tell them, don't give up on God. Come on, they act like this message ain't touched them. Tell them, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info at greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address